It is good to be here this morning. Our passage we are going through, Living on a Prayer. Stuart opened the series last week, and this week we're going to be talking about our Father in Heaven. I'm going to go ahead and ask Paul to bring the passage up on the screen because we're using a translation that I don't have a copy of, so I don't have a Bible to read from, which is usually my preferred method. And Stuart will get into the details of why we're using this translation in a future sermon. I do know the details, but I don't want to spoil the surprise. So this is Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 through 13. And again, we are going to be focusing on our Father in Heaven. And Jesus, in his wonderful sermon, says this: "And when you pray, do not babble on like pagans, for they think that by their many words they will be heard. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So then, this is how you should pray: Our Father in Heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, this is your word, and I ask that you move us towards you, to convict us of our sins, to deepen our faith, grow in our love for you and our love for one another. And I ask, if I preach anything false or untrue, that it fall upon deaf ears. And I pray that you are glorified this morning. Amen. So when I first got into ministry, I was told about the sacrifice pastors have to make, and it was like, you will not be able to do this. You will not be able to do this. One of the things I was told is like, you probably will not be able to travel the way you want to travel, which has turned out to be true. But I still would like to travel. I would love to see England, right? That is one place that I'd love to go. England, Scotland, just the general UK. Spend, I don't know, maybe take my sabbatical there in a couple of years. That'd be nice. But I do know that when you go to the UK, you're bound to meet nobility, so I wanted to be prepared. And because you have to address nobility according to their titles, and I don't want to be too American and just mess all of that up. And so I know if you are meeting an earl, a count, or a baron, you begin the conversation with your lord or your lady. If it is a duke, if the person you're meeting is a duke or a duchess, you begin the conversation with addressing them of your grace. Prince or princess, it is your royal highness. Finally, should you meet the king or the queen, which will definitely happen, your majesty. Oh, and I forgot my favorite one, a marquis. A marquis is most honorable. I love that one. However, if you are a Christian, if you have placed your faith in Christ, and you're talking to the God who created all of the universe, the one who makes the sun rise and set, I love that imagery, the one who knits us together in the wombs of our mothers, the one, the God who gives us the very breath we breathe, the one who rules over all creation so that there is no inch of creation that he does not say, "This is mine." The God who works all things out for our eternal good. When we address him, we simply say, "Our Father." You see, humans, we like to put distance between ourselves. There's always a little bit of contention, whether meant to or not. I learned this in sociology class. It's the only thing I remember. That and where you sit determines your grades. What people apparently tend to, almost always, introduce themselves in the highest station possible. For instance, if I were to introduce myself, I'd go around and be like, I'm Reverend Nathan Thomas. And we always address others in the lowest station that we could possibly do. That's the youth calling me Nathaniel. That's not my name. But the Lord is amazing. Our Father is amazing. Instead of addressing us in our lowest station and presenting himself to us in the majesty and glory that he has, it's like, I am your father. He bridges the gap, the very real gap between us. The Lord bridges that. He welcomes us to talk to him. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to come to his heavenly throne room and talk and pray. And so when Jesus teaches us how to pray, this is how he begins. He reminds us of this beautiful truth, and that's what we're discussing this morning. This is the main point, and if you have to leave after this, that's fine. This is what I want you to take home. When we pray, when we as Christians pray, we are talking to our Heavenly Father. Remember this always in your prayers. And I hope this gives you encouragement, some joy, some confidence that we are going to God and we can have a confidence and expectation of his fatherly goodness. We should not doubt. There shouldn't be a concern that the Lord is not listening. No, he loves to listen to his children. This is something that God delights in. This is something our Father delights in. It's common throughout the New Testament. Even Jesus in his preface to the Lord's Prayer, he's like, when you go to pray to our Father, this is who we're going to. And Paul makes this abundantly clear in Romans 8. This beautiful chapter, he is writing to the Romans and he says this, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoptions as sons whom we cry, Abba, Father. God is majestic and amazing and wonderful. Yeah, the spirit we have as his children is we can go as Abba, Father. We, if your faith is in Jesus, you are adopted into the household, into the family of God. And this word Abba, it is familiar and intimate. It's not quite so relaxed as to say Daddy, but it is good. It is loving. It is a word that we would use if we were to speak to our own fathers. This is truly a joy that we get to experience, to partake in as Christians. We're not of the world anymore. Yes, we're still here, but the social boundaries that we push against, the gains that we always strive for, that is done away. No longer do we have to worry about these things because we have a very good Father. We're not orphans anymore. We don't have to struggle for love. Desperate for meaning? No. We have in Christ, from our Father, a tremendous inheritance. Life, eternal joy to sit in His household. So if your faith is in Christ, if you look to the cross and that's where my confidence lies, then you are a blessed son or a blessed daughter of the Lord. And you have a Father who delights in you, delights in talking to you. So when we pray, take delight that you are going to your Father to have this wonderful conversation, to share everything that burdens your soul. Reminds me of when we were children, we being my brother and I, not all of us collectively, but we would have family dinner, but it was every night, so we just had dinner. And we sit at the kitchen table, and your dining table, that's for guests, that's for visitors. And then we had the kitchen table for family dinner, and we have this round red kitchen table. Because it's round, we just kind of sit as close to the cardinal directions as possible, mostly. There was one particular night, and Mom likes to tell this story, she looks up, and she was a bit miffed. She was miffed because my brother and I, instead of sitting at our usual place, just kind of scooted around the table, me clockwise, my brother Wittershins, toward my dad, so that when she looked up, our plates and our chairs were right next to Dad, away from Mom, just sitting next to him. And to be fair, I don't think Dad minded at all. He had no problem with it whatsoever. But we just wanted to sit next to our Father. And when we pray, we should be scooting toward Him. We should delight in this, take joy in it. Our Father loves to bless us. This is wonderful. This is an invitation. Our Father in heaven, we go to our Father. We don't have to wrestle for our blessings. We're not Jacob fighting an angel, just fighting the Lord and wrestling him down saying, bless me. Hey, no. We begin our prayers. Jesus begins this prayer with a reminder of the tenderness and the sweetness and the kindness of our God. He's not distant. He's not cold. He's not some clock worker who set everything in motion and then stepped back and goes, you have to fend for your own. No, He is kind and generous. And Jesus Himself drives this home in Luke chapter 11. When He is talking, He goes, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? If he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? There's a couple of premises in Jesus' statement. One, His premise is that people are evil. He's like, you who are then evil. He doesn't debate this. He doesn't set up elaborate theology of it. He's like, you're evil. But you, evil people, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more then? This is the other premise. Our Heavenly Father is so much greater than our earthly fathers. How much more is He willing to give? God is far more generous, far more loving than we tend to think. Yet Christ here and in the Lord's Prayer is reminding us, hey, your God is tender, generous, gracious, abounding in love. So believers, be confident. Have trust in the Heavenly Father, for He loves His children. He is eager to bless you. Often we can be just timid in prayer, intimidated. Whether we are intimidated praying in front of other people, lest they see us stumble in our prayers, or intimidated by the sheer majesty of the Lord. But there's no need for such intimidation. There's no need for any timidity. Because God has brought us out of the world, brought us, no longer are we lost. No, we are found, and not only just found, but brought into the family. We have no reason to hold back. The Lord delights in hearing from His children. We are called to delight in going to Him. So retreat to Him in prayer. Bring everything. There's nothing to hide. Take comfort in the great love of the Father, who gave us a brother in Jesus, that we may be in the Lord's family and part of His great inheritance. Now, with that being said, there is a second part to this, our Father in heaven, and that is the in heaven part. Not only is the Lord our Father, but He is in heaven. When we pray, we must remember this, that we are talking to the King, to the Lord in heaven, reigning over all of earth, over all of creation. When we pray, we are leaving earthly things behind. Regardless of our situation, whether we're in our highest joys or in the deepest of sorrows and suffering, our prayers are heaven directed. Jeremiah understands this in his book of Lamentations. In the middle of the book, in chapter 3, he's turning from lament and sorrow toward hope. And to do so, he writes this beautiful line: "Let us lift our hearts and hands to God in heaven." Let's not look at the horizontal. Now, let's not look merely at the things that are in the day-to-day, but no, let us turn our hearts and our eyes and lift our hands to the heavens. And if you have not read Lamentations, it is appropriately named. It is a short book of song and prayers, keenly aware of the agonies and the struggles in this world, keenly aware of the suffering. Our lives, they may seem vast, they may be overwhelming, but when we pray, we are able to go to our Father who welcomes us and is looking forward to our prayer, delighting them in His heavenly courts. When we pray, we are moving toward hope. We need to remember, not only are we going to our Father, but we're going to the King of Kings, ruler over all. He is surrounded by angels, and as they sing and they worship, we get to talk to Him. The angels do not cease their singing. We see this in the writings of the prophet Isaiah and the apostle John. These men, Isaiah the prophet, quoted more than any other in the New Testament, goes into the heavenly courts in Isaiah 6, and he closes his eyes and he kneels down and he realizes his own unworthiness, but we see the majesty of God, the angels constantly singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." And the apostle John, the apostle who knew Jesus, best friends, saw the transfiguration. We see him in Revelation, see a glimpse into heaven and the majesty and the glorious nature of it. And so when we pray, this is where our soul is going. This is where our heart is going. This is the direction of our prayers, of our longings. And in the midst of all of that, in the midst of the beautiful worship, the Father listens. So yes, when we pray, not only are we going to who makes all things right, we're going where all things are indeed right. And don't lose sight of that. Be awed. Be amazed. Enjoy the splendor of our Father. Do not lose sight of where he is enthroned. He is awesome, amazing, glorious. That's our Father. And children always tend to think of their parents as special. And indeed, our Heavenly Father is very special. But as a young children, I remember somewhere there's a photograph. And I don't know where it is, but it's one that I really like. I was probably somewhere between 6 or 8, but I was at my dad's. It's a picture of me at my dad's desk at Sumter High, so it must have been summer. And I'm sitting there, and I'm pretending to be very studious and writing. And I do remember that feeling as a child, like, this is cool. This is where my dad is. This is where he works. These papers, which are probably student essays, are very important. This desk means a lot. This is his authority. This is him. This is a picture of who he is. His computer has a shark game on it. This is amazing. And I love that picture. And I remember that feeling. I love that feeling of just, my dad is really cool. But as Christians, that statement is that feeling, that awe is more true than we could ever possibly imagine. And we can sit and dwell in that in our prayers. Enjoy this. This is a gift. This is a blessing. Be awed. Celebrate the wondrous nature of our God. We get to do that in prayer. Let your prayers reflect this. To have the reverence of seeing how wonderful and majestic he is. Cling to that childlike amazement. Don't push it aside. Be childish. Love the Lord. Love your Father. Pray to him, bringing everything as a child talks to their parents. This is our joy and delight. For while the angels sing, the Father, he bends over and he lends his ear to us to hear. This is the blessing of prayer. This is the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is what Christ does when he calls us brother and sister. And we repent of our sins, and he gives us his righteousness. He also brings us in to be a part of his wonderful and eternal inheritance. God's love for his people is tremendous. Delight in it. Rest in it. Celebrate in it. come to the Lord, open and honest, no need for timidity. He's our Father. Be amazed at his wondrous deeds and his truly faithful love that endures forever. We bring our needs, we bring our hopes, and we reflect on how incredible he is. And this is what Jesus is showing us in the opening of the Lord's Prayer. And I don't think I can sum it up better than Martin Lloyd-Jones. He writes with far better eloquence. If you're not familiar, he was a pastor of the my youth do this to me, of the 1900s. But he has this beautiful quote on this particular verse. As your Father, which is in heaven, is much more anxious to bless you than you are to be blessed. There is no limit to his almighty power. He can bless you with all the blessings of heaven. He has put them in Christ and put you into Christ. So your life can be rich with all the glory and the riches of the grace of God himself. This is the God whom we love. The one who is more anxious to bless us than we are to be blessed. The one that has all of earth and heaven at his disposal. The one who can move all of creation for his children. This is the love you receive when your faith is in Jesus. A love fueled by the Holy Spirit. A love of a Father that is unending. What a marvelous gift of prayer. This is what we have. This is what we get to do. So let us do it often. Pray with honesty and awe as you and your brothers and your sisters go to our Heavenly Father. Go together and celebrate and delight in the love of the Father. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we were orphans. We were without inheritance, temporary things that would fade in time. Lord, our Father, without your love, we would have been forgotten. Yet as your children, Lord, you remember and bestow great gifts upon us. You're kind and generous. Lord, we do not have to prove anything, but you bring us into your heavenly realms and you heed our prayers. Delighting in your sons, delighting in your daughters. And I ask that we may all have such childlike delight in you. It is in the name of our brother Jesus we pray. Amen.